We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
On the Wolfpack Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Play ball!
Welcome to the Nevada Wolfpack Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Josh Sushon.
Nevada Baseball Podcast. I'm John Ramey in for Josh Sushon. My pleasure to introduce two men I initially feared and have grown to love. Nevada head coach DJ Bruce and UCLA head coach John Savage. John Savage, who I just Googled, threw 24 consecutive no-hit innings in 1983 as a Reno High School Husky, including two seven-inning complete game no-hitters over Fallon and Wooster. Coach Savage, I've known you a long time. You've never mentioned that. I would lead with that at cocktail parties. You have not.
Well, that was the heyday for me, 1983, I guess you would say. But yeah, very fond memories of high school baseball, as everybody really should be. You know, really enjoyed my high school career there. Played for Bill Pinaluna, awesome coach, and had fun there.
TJ Bruce, true or false? Do you feel like you have a career in Nevada because of John Savage? Because I do.
100% true. I have a baseball career in general because of Coach Savage. So it's 100% true. I'm sitting in this seat all because of him and his willingness to mentor and tutor a young coach, I don't know, 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago, and took a chance. And he took a chance on a guy that needed a job that wasn't established, and they were just coming off the national championship season. So he could have gone out and got any coach in the country, really. He took a chance on me, and I'll forever indebted to him and his family.
We talk about family. What's tomorrow? We're taping this Monday. The Pack and the Bruins are going to play at Jackie Robinson Stadium tomorrow night. I mean, this is a family affair. Coach Savage, you look into the dugout, your son Ryan's in there. You got Troy Buckley, who is Buck was on your staff with Team USA, right? You've known him a long time. Yeah. And of course, your connections with Coach Bruce. What's it going to be? Are you guys relishing the opportunity to compete against one another, or is it weird and you have to compartmentalize?
Yeah, I think, you know, I try to treat everybody that we play the same. That's kind of been my motto, really, USC is no different than Washington and Washington State or Oregon. I mean, it's just, I think that's really the best way to approach things. When you start getting two up or two down and peaks and valleys, I think, you know, your team starts becoming playing like that. So obviously this is a special time for me, you know, playing against TJ. I'm so proud of him and what he's accomplished there. And they're on the verge of something really special. I don't want to say too much, but he's got to keep going there. But of course, Ryan, you know, he's done so much for Ryan, and Ryan loves Nevada baseball and loves being in Reno, and my family's still there. And then, you know, his relationship with Troy Buckley has been really good. Troy has really helped Ryan with a lot of things, just, you know, the pitching side of it and analytics and charting and just different things, you know. I mean, he just wants to be part of things. So it's a special moment for me just to look over there and see those people that are so close to me and my family. Like TJ said, that at the end of the day, that's what it's really all about. It's we're all competitive. We all want to win. We all want to beat each other. It's just the nature of the game. But really, in the big picture, I'm just so happy that those guys are doing well, and I follow them. And you know, just you know, I know it's a grind. This has been a very difficult year with the COVID. But at the end of the day, you know, just really happy that they're flourishing in their jobs and really in their lives. You know, I mean, TJ's raised a family and Heather, and they've done a great job. They love Reno. I mean, Reno, I think, has been a perfect spot for him and his family. And it's just, you know, been a really strong relationship.
Coach Bruce, I don't want to interrupt you. Are you going to say something?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I was okay. Just, it is. I mean, it's, he nailed it. You know, it'd be great to see him. I haven't seen Coach in just about a year, probably maybe. Be good to see him. But like you said, I mean, I think once that first pitch is thrown, you gotta, you know, it's all about winning and helping your team compete. And I know that about him just as good as anybody else does. And I think he knows that about me as well. And but it'll be good. There is family. There's a lot of history on the field. You know, there's a ton of history, and it'll be really cool. It's always good to share those moments with your family. And I do feel this is family. So looking forward just to the opportunity, but also looking forward to our opportunity for our players to get on the field and compete. And that's really what it is about as well.
Coach Savage, you would have liked the Sunday game, 3-1, sea level.
I like that, sea level.
No home runs.
As a matter of fact, I talked about sea level yesterday.
Did you now?
Yeah, with Mr. Wilhelm, and I love this. I love talking about sea level. I don't know. I think that's just like a crutch for me when we don't hit, or I don't know what the deal is. But you know, it is. You know, it is a different game in a lot of ways. But you know, still baseball. And you know, I mean, Nevada really is one of the hottest teams in the country, and I can say that because I know who they're playing against. It's the West Coast. There's a lot of good players, a lot of good coaches. It's really hard to get ahead here. I mean, you know, it's really hard to get ahead and win league after year after year after year. You just don't do that out here. It just doesn't happen. You just have to keep on building your program and figure out your team year to year.
Okay, I have to, I'm sorry. I'm going to do that. I'm going to insert myself a little bit into this.
Sure.
Getting the Wolfpack gig in 2017 after working for you, Coach Savage, for 7 years, I feel like I saw the second part of the movie first and the first part of the movie I'm seeing now, right? I remember you telling me about Pete Savage, my brother at Reno High, the best baseball coach in America. And that's just a kind of an abstract concept. I've been to Reno High. Mike Edwards teaches at Reno High, who works in the football games, right? I still maintain that I have a career at all because your baseball teams were good. So people listened. And specifically, I have a career at Nevada because Eileen Savage, your mom, listened to Bruins baseball. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you've earned your stripes. I mean, you know, you do a great job, and did a great job for us, and we are forever thankful for the job that you did at UCLA with Tim. And it was a special, special time, and we had some special years. TJ was clearly a big part of the recruitment of a lot of those players and the development of those players. And, you know, it's never about one or two or three guys. It's really about the players and their makeup and their chemistry and how they respond from failure and how they deal with success. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into winning, and a lot of things you don't even talk about winning. You don't talk about the results, and that's how you do win in a lot of ways. So it's a funny, it's a tough game. It's a funny game, but you know, we still listening. My mom still listens to you. She loves listening to you, and you know, she loves listening to Tim. I mean, she doesn't even watch the audio, I don't think, or excuse me, the video. She just listens to Tim. I mean, that's how much she enjoys it. I think she gets too nervous by watching the games, but you know, she's like, oh, how can you bring that guy in? That guy doesn't throw any strikes and this and that. And my mom's the true pitching coach. That's for sure. So, and she loves Nevada baseball. I mean, you know, when I was there and for Coach Powers, I mean, you know,
I've seen her at Piccoli.
Yeah. I mean, she loves Nevada baseball, and now she's even, you know, more into it, obviously, with TJ and Buck, and now Ryan's involved. You know, I mean, it's just really good therapy for her, really, to be honest with you.
Coach Bruce, can we share the story that you shared with me yesterday in Fresno about you as an assistant?
Coach Savage? I mean,
Is this being recorded or not?
No, it's being recorded, but I'm not. Nothing incriminating will get out.
Edit. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, it was a good story. It was just, you know, it's always you reflect your time, right? You reflect your time, and there are certain things. I think, and John, you're probably going to go here, but it's like how you just as you grow older, and I'm not saying I'm old by any means. I just turned 39, but I'm just as your time keeps going in this game, you learn of what you should have done and what you shouldn't have done. And that was really the premise of what we talked about, was what I could have done better working for you. And I was, and you know, part of the, it's the revisa, it's the self-reflection, it's the debriefing. And there were some times I told John that there were times I probably drove you nuts every once in a while. Like, I'm just, you know, you would ask about something. I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know, coach. I'm just doing the infielders. Or it's like, well, that's not true. That's we're a team. And as you just nailed it, where everybody's a part of this thing and everybody's opinion matters, especially when the head coach asks. And so I talked about it with John a little bit about how frustrating. And I wish now knowing what I know, I wish I would have been better in those regards. Instead, I just stayed in my lane, and I didn't worry about a whole lot outside of my lane. And part of it's good, part of it's bad. Yeah. Just reflecting on the time there for five years and now as you're trying to mentor assistants and being myself, as I'm trying to do that, and you know, with Buck's been around such a long time that it's not so much Buck, but it's bringing along volunteers or bringing along other guys. And you're trying to tell them, hey, don't do it this way, because this, you know, certain things, it'd be like, hey, you want to pinch hit here? Or what do you think here? And I don't know. Bad answers. Coach always had that saying, there are some bad answers. you can't have bad answers. Yeah. So that was part of it. That was a little part of it.
Yeah, I think. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you're working for somebody and you want to be part of the team you know, you're young and, you know, I mean, I think experience, like you're saying, it, you know, goes a long ways in terms of, and you're in a different chair, you know, I mean, being assistant is a lot different than being in the head coach, and, you know, calling pitches is a lot different than watching calling pitches. And then you're starting to call pitches. I mean, calling the offense is a lot different than sitting back and questioning the offense. I mean, it's just so different, and it's really hard. I mean, a lot of these things are really hard and takes time for feel and experience and so forth. So we were all growing together, really. I was a young head coach and you know, so nobody has this thing figured out. That's for sure. And the people that act like they do, you know, certainly get themselves into trouble. So we're all, you know, striving to get better each and every day.
You guys talk about being older, right? We're all older, thank God. None of us are old, but like, for example, Coach Savage, I see Ryan. I mean, I remember Ryan in Omaha in 2010.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that makes me feel right.
Don't forget Rice signed autographs in 13 either, coming off the bus.
Yeah, he did.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We got some footage of that.
Got some video footage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Signing autographs. That was classic. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm glad we got that in. But there's an evolution in how you coach, in your temperament. Yeah. I certainly know it's true for me in my profession, in my life. Like, yeah. I'm probably calmer now than I was for a Tuesday against LMU in 2011.
Yeah.
For example, Coach Taylor told me you knocked his tooth out once with a fungo, ground ball off a fungo. Do you guys think about yourselves as younger coaches? I mean, TJ, you just did, but like, overall, the temperament, the sanding of the edge, or just the deployment of the edge is different in that process.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best version of yourself is always you. So you have to be yourself. TJ can't act like me, and I can't act like Coach Gillespie. And I can, you know, I mean, we can learn and grow from being around those people. And I mean, you know, I've been helped and learned from a lot from my assistants as well. I mean, it goes a two-way street. TJ has Buck right now, and Buck is a fabulous coach. I mean, he was a head coach for a long time and a good head coach. And now he's a, you know, clearly an elite pitching coach. So, you just learn from people, you learn from experiences. You try not to make the same mistake over and over. The game is difficult, get game decisions and so forth. But I think at the end of the day, it's you got to go with your gut. You got to go with your experience. And this is a very difficult time, dealing with young men. You got to be very conscious of their feelings and their mental health and their emotions and academic and family and religion. And there's just so many factors that you really got to make sure that you are, you know, you're really looking at that person well-rounded wise. I mean, you just can't look at it just strictly as a baseball player. It goes a lot further than that. So if you care about them and they know that, you're going to get more out of them. I mean, it's just the nature of the game. So, and I know TJ and those guys do a great job. I mean, I don't want to say kids have changed and times have changed, but you know what I'm saying? It's a little different climate in terms of just practice and weights and nutrition and mental health and sleep and,
turning off the smartphone.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, everything that goes into the internet, and it's just, you got a lot on your plate as a head coach, and, it takes a whole team to win. So that's, I still get nervous every game. I still get anxiety, every game. There's not one game I don't get that. It doesn't matter who we're playing or where we're playing. That part of it really doesn't affect me in any way. It's just the game, and just the excitement, really. And then, okay, then the first pitch goes and you kind of lose that, anxiety and nervous, and you get into the game. But it takes time, man. And it's just fun following, these guys that have coached for me and the success that they're having.
Okay. I have a two-word question. You guys can both answer it. Coach Bruce, you can go first. Gary Powers.
I thought you wanted to answer in two words. I had the pleasure, obviously, of working for Coach at UCLA. So the transition for me was a little different in Reno than it would be for somebody somebody else that didn't work for Coach. I felt like I knew Reno as good as I could have known it without being there and knowing it. I knew Coach Ault from coming down and spending some time at UCLA. Obviously, I knew Eileen. I knew Pete. I knew Len, Chad Savage, So I walked into a situation that was kind of my family away from family, and then they were going to become my new family, if that all made sense. So I didn't walk in naked per se. You know, Joe DiRico was somebody that coach grew up with, who's a dear friend of mine. Rick Revilio already knew, you know, all these guys already, and these families already knew about this circus that was getting ready to take on Reno. And, you know, and Gary was another one. You know, one of the things is, as a coach, I feel like I've tried to do is you always try to honor what's come before you. And you know, Gary has 938 wins. I mean, that is an amazing feat. There's not a lot of coaches that have that many wins. And I'm just really the caretaker of his program is what I always tell everybody. He built that place. A lot of good players come through there. A lot of assistants have come through there and got on like coach to have unbelievable careers. So my job is to honor A, the coaches that I've come from, and then B is to honor the coaches that already coached at that university, and Gary being there for 30 something years. We have a great relationship. And he's a big part of why we're doing what we're doing at Nevada baseball as well, is trying to get this team back in the postseason where Gary led them 4 times, under the blueprint in the new age of blue collar, lunch pail, hard hat. You know, that's what Nevada baseball is. And so that's what Gary means to me. He lives down the street from Buck now, which is pretty cool. I think they live actually catty corner, maybe. I think they're maybe 20 steps away. But Gary's been a dear friend to me in my short time there, and just fortunate to have Gary in my life and fortunate to coach his program.
I would just say passion for Nevada. You know, Gary gave me the start, and I was coming out of professional baseball and helping out at Reno High a little bit. And Gary gave me an unbelievable opportunity to be an undergraduate assistant. When Dick Adams left, he hired me as a pitching coach, recruiting coordinator. I really had very, very little experience. So I have so much to thank Gary. His family, his mom and dad, you know, back in the day, loved Nevada baseball, loved coming to the games. I remember Mrs. Powers is standing next to the net and watching the games. And, you know, I just, you know, that those are very, very special times. And we had a special run there. I mean, we had a lot of good years. Like TJ said, we had a bunch of good players. And, you know, Gary, that was his Piccoli Field is, you know, the reason why it is Piccoli is because of Gary and his passion for Nevada baseball. And it's just, you know, he'll ever forever be the commander in chief of that program. And I think TJ hit it on the head. You know, it's just like here with Gary Adams and all the people that have been here before me. I mean, that's this respect we have for them. So, you know, Gary cared so much about Nevada baseball and about the players and about the program and the building of the program. I remember watching them at Moana Stadium back in the day when they had to, you know, off campus, and they had to go and play over there. And then they, you know, built Piccoli. And I mean, I saw that whole thing, you know, happen. And so just have a lot of respect. And like TJ said, Gary's a very, very good friend. And I'm just happy that he's healthy. And I'm happy he's still there involved with Nevada baseball. I'm just happy the coaching staff embraces him. I think that's important. And at the end of the day, I'm just so happy that he's still, you know, excited and involved in Nevada baseball.
I have in the Dan Gustin broadcast booth at Donward Field at Piccoli Park, there are some plaques and pictures. Oh. The 92 team and the 94 team are on there. One of those teams didn't lose at home.
Yeah, I think we're 27-0. I believe that was in 92. I think we won the Big West in 94. I think co-champs with Fullerton. We beat Fullerton 2 out of 3 with Dante Powell and Ferguson and those guys. And, And that was an exceptional team. They were ranked number one in team in the country, beat them Friday and Saturday. And Larry Randall was doing the plate on Sunday. And I went to I took the lineup card to the plate on Sunday. And Larry said, "Hey, George, what time are we going to meet tomorrow? You know, what time are we going to meet to go fishing tomorrow at 6? And I went back to Gary and said, "Hey, Gary, we're not going to win today."
George being George Horton.
George Horton. Or Augie. Was it Augie or George? And I went back to Gary and said, "Hey, the Yankees are not going to win today. Nobody's going to win. Nobody's going to sweep this team today. We lost like 10-1. And because, you know, the umpire is going fishing with the coach tomorrow. I mean, that's never a good sign." So it was, I still remember like yesterday, I just laughed. Gary and I still laugh at that, but you know, the 92 team was a special, we're independent that year. And so we played everybody. We played against Mike Weathers from Chapman. Chapman came in and played, and they had a bus because of the LA riots. They couldn't get out of LA, so they had a bus, and it was difficult for them to get out of LA. And so that 92 team and 94 team were really special teams. So,
this is a dumb question, but you wore 24 back then. Were you angling for 22 and you just couldn't get it? You wear 22. Now, TJ has retained 2 at Nevada.
I'm just looking for a uniform. I don't care. I mean, I think at USC when we won the national championship, I was maybe 20 or something. I don't know. But
because for folks who don't know, 22 is shorthand for John Savage. I mean, we just talk about 22. So it threw me to see 24.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was just happy to Gary gave me an opportunity and excited for it. So.
All right. I know you got a deadline, Coach Savage, Coach Bruce, if you'll hang around for a second. But Paul McCartney once told me to never drop names. However, Coach Savage, you got to go do a TV thing for about one of your former players. You can share that if you want.
Well, it's with Fox Sports. It's with Trevor, about Trevor Bauer and just his, you know, it's his progression through life and through high school and leaving high school early and then going to UCLA. And TJ saw that whole, you know, deal as well. Just his run to the Cy Young, and then clearly with the Dodgers and being one of the highest paid pitchers in the game, and the success that he's had. And so, you know, it's just, you know, he's a superstar. He's one of the top probably 5 pitchers in the world, him and Garrett, really. And it's just fun to watch him.
All right, we'll cut you loose.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you guys. It was great being on here, and look forward to seeing you again, John, sometime soon. And I'll see TJ tonight.
All right, Coach. See you in a little bit.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Coach. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.
TJ, you hang out?
Yep.
We're still rolling.
Let's roll.
How pro is Coach saying tonight like it's a pregame interview?
Awesome.
See?
He's a pro. He's a pro. He gets it. Just a good man, just a very fortunate. I'm very lucky.
There's an unspoken understanding that people like you and me have about John Savage that I don't know that if you haven't spent seasons with him, you can ever fully understand. And I'm just the idiot radio guy, right? It's not like I was competing in the dugout, but I had the privilege of being on the bus. So that's pretty close.
Yeah. There's, I don't even know. I mean, there's so many, every time I talk about Coach, it's, you know, you get filled with emotion about it. So I just, you know, try to be as professional, but you know, I think, what he means to me and what he is and what he's done for my family. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, it's, incredible. I just, not a lot of people out there in the world like Coach, and that's for sure, that care about people, can balance family and baseball, just a true man by every definition, and a true professional. And it was just such an honor to be in the same dugout with him for 5 years. I mean, it was an absolute honor. Arguably, you can argue it's the greatest 5 years in UCLA baseball history. And what a ride those were. 3 Pac-12 championships, 2 trips to Omaha, and a national championship. I mean, and the greatest joy in my coaching career to this day is watching him win the national championship. And I know that sounds, you know, not saying I didn't have joy in a lot of other things, but I think when you see, when you see what somebody puts into it and all you want to do is help them achieve their goal. And that was what Coach was about. That was all he was about. And so to see that smile on his face, and there's a video somewhere and him and I are the first two to embrace.
Yeah.
And it's a picture that we'll always remember. I mean, just to know that he got his own, you know, and not, you know, he helped USC, he was on as an assistant.
He had come
in 98, came close in 10. And then he got his own in 13. And gosh, it was just overwhelming of emotions, really, for what he sacrificed, what he means to people, and then what he meant to me.
That's a good place to end it, because otherwise I'll start talking to you about Sunday, yesterday's win. We can get into X's and O's in another interview.
Yeah, you could, wherever you want to go. I'm always in.
We'll cover that in the pregame tomorrow.
Yeah, what a great person. Yeah. 22. He's a college 22. Baseball Hall of Famer.
It's just funny, like when you and I talk, or anybody. It's an unspoken, like he mentioned Tim Wilhelm. He's still the broadcaster at UCLA. Mm-hmm. Tim and I worked together for years. You know, I'm on a text thread with Tim and some other UCLA folks. And it's just 22. It's just, he's a different guy.
Yeah. When you, you know, it's like when you're a rock star or something, or when you got a nickname, you've made it kind of deal. Well, when you just talk, when someone just talks about your number, you're pretty good. And we do it in our text threads, which a group of friends of ours that I've met through Coach, or guys that I know that he knows and he's pretty good friends with. And even I talked to Ryan about it. Hey, 22, they win today. You know, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. And tomorrow will be good. Tomorrow will be great. It'll be a little different. There's no question. I mean, there is no doubt. I'll upplay that. He can say that it's going to be different, or it's not going to be different. It'll be a little different. Because you
haven't called a game there since I left. Yeah.
You know, the last time I was coaching a game in the visitor's dugout, I'll see.
Is it when you lost to Maryland?
No, because I believe.
Oh, you were the home team? I'm trying to.
Yeah,
think.
I think
so. Oh, so visitors, you would have been in Long Beach.
Nope. 2012, we beat TCU to go to Omaha.
Super. Yeah, the super.
Super.
And you swapped dugouts.
We swapped dugouts, and we're up by a lot of runs. And I moved Valleca. David Berg was on the mound, and I moved Valleca left or right, and it wasn't – the ball was hit the other side. And I'm like, I just lost. And we were up by 10 runs, or we won.
Yeah, but you never know. You never know when the
other team is going. You never know in college baseball. Yeah. And I'm like, holy cow, I just lost us the game because I moved Valleca and there's nobody on. And that was the last time I think I was in the visitor's dugout.
Terrified.
Because I never went over there during inter-squads. Coach was always over there. The pitchers were huddled over there. Yeah. It's like a little bunker.
Well, yeah, it's going to be weird. I haven't been there since I came to Nevada, not for a game.
I don't think I've been. I've been back for like recruiting stuff, EBS and different things. But, you know, you try to just keep it professional because you got respect for Coach and he has new staff and assistants now. And you don't want to put those guys at, you know, make them feel any certain way. And Bryant Ward does a fabulous job for them. I mean, it's, you know, he does a great job. And I got to imagine he'll be the next head coach somewhere on the West. sooner than later, I got to imagine.
All right. We'll leave it there. It's the Nevada Baseball Podcast. He is Coach Bruce. It was John Savage. And we will talk to you tomorrow night from Los Angeles, Nevada at UCLA. Take care, everybody.